This conference is being recorded.
Om Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilatam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Tatati Swa Padantikam Vande Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvatutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Paran Sahagana Lalita Sri Vitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We're continuing discussion on the nectar of devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And today's topic, the name of the chapter, is Purity of Devotional Service. And in this chapter, we'll gain great inspiration to continue the process of devotional service no matter what our circumstance is now. Because we'll learn that devotional service is transcendental. And it is extremely powerful because it is Krishna himself. It's actually his internal energy. There are several aspects mentioned in this chapter about the quality of devotional service, and that is that it's transcendental and without cause. It's executed without hope for gain. It cannot be checked by any material circumstances. It's open to all without any distinction, and it's the constitutional occupation of the living entities. So sometimes in religious processes, including in devotional service, there have been attempts by people to say that it's only available to a certain class of people. Recently in India, within the last 100 years or so, there was a controversy. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, our Param Guru, had been strenuously debating and arguing with a group who claimed that they were descendants from Lord Nityananda and therefore they had the exclusive right to give out devotional service. But the Shastras are very clear, and Rupa Goswami brings to bear all of the evidence in the Nectar of Devotion, as do the other acharyas in our line, that devotional service is available to everyone. It's not based on any kind of material designation, where one's born, what position one's born in. We know the famous verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kirata Pulinda Pulinda Pulkasha Abhira Shumba Yavana Kasadaya Yene Shapapa Yara Pashraya Shraya Shudyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha. It's naming all different kinds of people who are outside the Varnashram system from all parts of the world. And this is Shukadeva Goswami speaking, saying that all of them, doesn't matter what their situation or what kind of birth they have, can come to the highest position of pure devotional service because of the power of Lord Vishnu and his pure devotees. Anyone can become purified. So devotional service is not restricted in any way to a certain caste or a certain kind of birth. It is the constitutional occupation of all living entities. And we see examples, I'm thinking of one right now, of Prahlad Maharaj when he offered prayers to Lord Nrsingadev. The demigods had tried to appease Lord Nrsinga because he was so angry, and they were not successful. So they pushed Prahlad Maharaj forward and said, "You try." And Prahlad first said that, "What can I say? I'm born from the same demon that Hiranyakashipu is angry about. And all these demigods have offered streams of excellent prayers to try to appease them, and they know Sanskrit, they know everything perfectly. So what can I say?" And then he remembered, Bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayutapaya. He remembered Gajendra was an elephant, and because he was sincerely offering prayers to the Lord accepted them, and he accepted his devotional service, and he liberated Gajendra. And then, Vipradvishad gunayatar aravindanaba padaravindavamukat swabacham varishtam. He said that if someone has all the Brahminical qualifications but is not a devotee of the Lord, he can't purify even himself. But if someone's a swapacha, means he comes from a very low position, he mentioned it's a dog eater, from a community of dog eaters, that if he takes to pure devotional service, then he can purify not only himself, but his entire family and everyone who comes in contact with him. So it does not matter what position one comes from, because devotional service is so powerful. So this is a very encouraging point. Whatever situation I'm in now, it doesn't matter. One of my favorite verses from this Nectar of Devotion chapter is given from the Padma Purana. And it's a very interesting kind of verse. It says that just as everyone has the right to take a purifying bath in the Ganga during the month of Magh, similarly, everyone has a right to take to devotional service. Magh's generally a cold time of the year. I've taken a bath in the month of Magh in the confluence of the Ganga, Jamuna, Saraswati. And, you know, if you have the determination, if you want to do it, who can stop you? It's your birthright. No one can stop you from doing devotional service from whatever situation you're in. You can successfully proceed in your devotional service even if you're incarcerated, even if you're in the darkest jail or in the, you know, the densest jungle. There's no consideration of time, place, and circumstance. It's transcendental. And Krishna, ekopya sora charitum jagadanda kotim yach shaktir asti jagadanda chaya yadantaha. He's all pervading. He's within every atom. So there's no part of the creation where he's not available to the soul who has sincerity within his heart and also determination. This is a word I'd like to emphasize this morning, is determination. It's so important because, well, here's an example of what determination actually means. You could meditate on this. We know from the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna's speaking about the yoga process in the sixth chapter of the Gita, he explains how one must have unflinching determination in the process to reach the goal. And then Srila Prabhupada gives a story in the purport where he talks about a little tiny bird who lays her eggs on the shore of the ocean. And then the ocean comes and sweeps away the eggs. And the little bird demands from the ocean, "Give them back." And the ocean says, "Why should I?" And the little bird says, "Because I'll peck out all of your water, one drop at a time, until you give them back." And the ocean just laughed. So the little bird was so determined to get her eggs back that she began to peck at the water. And the ocean didn't even give notice, just thought it was humorous. Until Garuda, the sister bird of the little sparrow, came down, seeing the determination of the little bird, and said, okay, I'll help you. And of course, Garuda's Lord Vishnu's carrier and is a transcendental being and is extremely powerful, has mystic power. So the ocean immediately gave the eggs back, realizing that this could happen. This is big trouble. And in a similar analogy, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that when we take to devotional service, our determination must be honed to this point, that if you were asked to drain the ocean with the tip of a kusha straw, you would be willing to do it. In other words, you have to be that determined ahead of time and think, no matter how long this takes, I'm going to do it. Drain the ocean with the tip of a kusha straw doesn't sound feasible. However, I must have that kind of determination that I'll do it until I complete the task. And that is extremely powerful if one has that kind of determination. And Prabhupada takes these words and is a translation for one of the verses, Api chet sudaracharo bhajate maham ananyapak sadureva samantavya samyag vyavasitohisa, in the Bhagavad Gita 9:30, in which it's mentioned that if someone takes to devotional service but then falls down from the practice, that person, if he or she continues the process, should be considered to be a sadhu or saintly person because they are properly situated in their determination. Because this is one of the points of this chapter of the purity of devotional service, there's no external rectification necessary, as in other processes like karma and jnana. If one falls down from the path of karma or jnana, one must rectify oneself in a very specific way. But in bhakti, because bhakti is all-powerful, if one simply has the determination to continue, then the purification process is built in. This comes up later in the chapter, but I'll mention it now, that there's a verse from the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam by Karabhajanamuni, in which he says, Supara mulam bhajata priyasya tyaktanya bhavasya hare priyeshaha vikarma yach chot patitam katanchid dhunoti sarvam hridi sanivishtaha. And that is that if someone, swapada mulam bhajata priyasya, these words are very important. Priyasya means dear. If someone's devotional service is very dear to them, in other words, Krishna is very dear to them, and they're performing devotional service, and their mood is tyaktanya bhavasya, their bhava, or their mood is that tyaktva, they want to give up other things and take to devotional service. Tyaktanya bhavasya hare prayeshaha, for the sake of Isha, the Supreme. Vikarma yach chot patitam katanchid means that somehow or other, if they fall down from their practice of devotional service, if there's a discrepancy or there's a fall down, vikarma means they stray from the path due to bad association or due to some previous bad habit that comes to the surface. Dunoti sarvam hridi sannivishtaha, Krishna, knowing their heart, knowing their determination, knowing their love for him, that he's dear to them, that their bhava, their feeling actually is that they want to give up everything, even if they can't do it, he purifies them from within the heart. Therefore, the process of purification is built in to devotional service just by one's determination to have it. I'm going to read for you a purport from the Bhagavad Gita that's much to this point. This is from the third chapter, 31st verse. And the verse is, Ye me matam idam nityam anutishtanti manavaha shadhavanto nasuyanto uchante te pikarmabihi. Those persons who execute their duties according to my injunctions, Krishna says, and who follow this teaching faithfully without envy become free from the bondage of fruitive actions. Prabhupada's purport. The injunction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the essence of all Vedic wisdom and therefore is eternally true without exception. As the Vedas are eternal, so this truth of Krishna consciousness is also eternal. One should have firm faith in this without envying the Lord. There are many philosophers who write comments on the Bhagavad Gita but have no faith in Krishna. They will never be liberated from the bondage of fruitive action. But an ordinary man with firm faith in the eternal injunctions of the Lord, even though unable to execute such orders, becomes liberated from the bondage of the law of karma. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord, but because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely, without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. So, being the attitude of determination, and as Prabhupada mentions here, working sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, this will promote one to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. It's certain. This is the purity of devotional service. So, anyone can take to devotional service. And not only that, the devotional service is so powerful that from whatever position of life one is in, it doesn't matter what one's birth is. If one takes to devotional service in the proper way, follows the method, which is called vidhanataha, you follow the process that's set out there by Krishna to approach him properly, then you automatically become a Brahmin. A Brahmin, the highest position in the Varnashram, Brahmanism is achieved automatically by someone who becomes a Vaishnav. And this is a famous verse from the Hari Bhakti Vilas, the book written by Sanatan Goswami by the direction of Lord Chaitanya himself, explaining the process of devotional service in detail. Yata kanchanatam yati kamsyam rasa vidanataha tata diksha vidanena dvijatvam jayatenrinam, which is a very interesting verse. It's referring to sort of an alchemical process of transforming bell metal into gold by some manipulation, by adding some mercury, and there's some process to change one kind of metal, an ordinary kind of metal, into gold by an alchemical process. So similarly, he says, there's a process for that. And he says, tata diksha vidanena dvijatvam jayatenrinam. If one takes the process of devotional service and enters in through what's called diksha, or attaining divine knowledge, divyam jnanam, by taking shelter of a pure devotee and engaging in the process of devotional service with faith from any position, then similarly, that person, even if ordinary, like ordinary bell metal, that person becomes transformed into a Brahmin. So ordinary metal into gold, ordinary person into a Brahmin. How? Vidanena, by taking the process of devotional service, entering in with faith and taking the process. Rupa Goswami points out that it, however, doesn't mean just getting initiated doesn't elevate one to the position of a Brahmin. Very important. One, that's the beginning, and one has to discharge the duties of devotional service and follow the regulative principles very carefully. In fact, Prabhupada has mentioned, one of favorite quote I have here, I've heard him speak in his lecture, that an acharya, a teacher, a spiritual master can only help us as much as we take their advice, as much as we imbibe it ourselves. We have to, as we've heard, fly our own airplane. When someone learns how to fly, at first they have an instructor, and you get this dual panel when you're flying, and the instructor's actually like flying, but you're sort of turning when he turns, because there's two steering wheels. But finally, when you go on your solo flight, everything you've learned from the teacher, you have to employ, otherwise you'll crash. So how we take the instruction and how we develop our own determination, this is very key in how much we'll advance in devotional service, even as we take Diksha and enter into the process in the correct way. And this is the determining factor. So there are other processes for elevating oneself to devotional service. Karma, there are rituals of karma yoga. Karma jnana, which is the speculative process, and bhakti. These three are mentioned by Rupa Goswami. So people are qualified for certain kinds of activities in life. And this a point has come up recently, and it's a perennial question. There's a verse which will be invoked later on in this chapter. Tyaktva sadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajana pakvo ta patet tato yati yatra kva bhajama buddha mushikim kovarta apto bhajatam sadharmata. Most of you know that verse. It's from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, fifth chapter. And it's Narada Muni saying to Vyasadeva, Tyaktva sadharmam charanam bhujam harer. If one gives up one's occupational duties, Tyaktva means to give up. Tyaktva sadharmam charanam bhujam harer, for the sake of serving the Lord, takes to devotional service. Bhajana pakvo tapatet tato yadi. If that person is a pakvo, or is unripe, in other words, they take to it with enthusiasm for some reason, one way or another, they take to it, and then they drop it later on. Narada Muni says, what is the loss? Because that impression and the advancement they made, even if it's minuscule in devotional service, will never be lost. It continues life after life. One will pick it up. It's an eternal process. This is another aspect of the purity of devotional service, which Lord Krishna mentions in a cursory way in the beginning of the middle of the second chapter, where he says, "Swalpamapyasya dharmasya." Even a little bit of advancement in this bhakti, in this buddhi yoga, it can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. And later in the sixth chapter, he mentions to Arjuna, who's worried that if he takes to the process, what if he gives it up? Krishna says, well, even if you give it up, you'll take it up in your next life. It continues. It's never lost. It's an eternal asset. That's nice, an eternal asset. So, tyaktva sadharmam charanam bhujam harer. If one gives up one's occupational duties, takes to devotional service, there's no loss for him. Whereas if one performs one's occupational duties perfectly in this life, but never takes to devotional service, what is the gain for that person? There is no gain, because people are going on performing all kinds of duties in this world, driving up and down the freeway. Where are they really going? I mean, what's the end result of it, of going faster in a car? And yesterday I was crossing the street, and I saw a car coming, and I was just thinking, how many horsepower does that car have? It's coming at me pretty quickly. And then I was thinking, well, not so long ago, people were driving around with horses, and now they have, through mechanical arrangement, a car that has horsepower, like 300 horsepower. So now it's... But what's the difference if you're driving in a chariot riding on a single horse? Then, you know, you're still moving about. And if you're moving about in a car with horsepower, 350 horses, you're still going from one point to the next point. And therefore, one must ask the question: why are you going there? What are you going to get when you arrive there? So. Material life, even if successfully executed, apparently, by driving around quickly, is not really significant. You haven't really gotten anywhere. You've just gone from one point and back to the other point more quickly than you did before. But you didn't become free from birth, death, old age, and disease. You've not accomplished anything. On the other hand, if one sincerely takes to devotional service, and that is the internal asset. So now, the question sometimes it's asked, that verse seems to indicate we should give up our dharma and our duties that we have. But very clearly in this chapter on the purity of devotional service, beginning with the invocation of the following verse, Sve sve dikare yanishta saguna parikirtita viparya tudosha syad ubayor esha nishchayaha. This is a verse from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam spoken by Krishna to Uddhava, in which he says that one's personal adhikari, or one's qualification, one who acts according to one's qualification, is in a good position. In other words, it's a good quality to know what your actual adhikara or your qualification is and to act in it. And the opposite, viparya yot dosha, dosha means a fault. The opposite is true. If you act outside your qualification, you try to do more than you're qualified for, then this is a bad quality. So how does it apply to our situation? And this verse, Tyaktva dharmam charanam bhujam harer, this is an absolute consideration. That in the overall scheme of things, to give up your dharma and take to devotional service, there is absolutely no loss. But on a day-to-day application of devotional service, Rupa Goswami mentions that one may not be qualified for the unalloyed devotional service immediately, meaning hearing and chanting all day long and just being fully thinking of Krishna. One may have duties to perform, and one may have an inclination even towards jnana or karma. However, one shouldn't artificially try to jump out of one's position, that position which one has qualification for, and try to rise to a higher level of devotional service. That is a dosha. It's a fault. Therefore, the correct process of devotional service means to enter into devotional service under proper guidance. Prabhupada says over and over again in the Bhagavad Gita and elsewhere, under the direction of a spiritual master, perform one's devotional service, and by making slow progress means gradually one elevates oneself and becomes purified of any kind of misconception or any attachment even to karma and jnana. Eventually, this is the result of performing devotional service. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma nyanavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam. So, favorable devotional service means it's free from karma and jnana, but in the beginning, if one has those tendencies, then to give them up artificially and simply jump to a different level will not be entirely helpful. But in an absolute position and from an absolute perspective, whatever one does in devotional service is beneficial. So there are many examples given in the Shastra, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, of people who have taken to devotional service and then have fallen back for one reason or another. Three that I'll bring up right now. King Bharat took to devotional service. He walked away from everything. His family, his duties as a king, everything. He was a very opulent king, had everything going for him, but he walked away because he was in a high state of devotional service, bhava, and he sat down to perform devotional service. And then in his meditation, he was distracted because he saw a deer miscarry and give birth to a little calf, and then the mother died. And then in his mind, he thought, I have to take care of this little calf. And then he became attached to it. And in his meditation became a farce. And when he died, he thought of the deer, and he took birth as a deer. But he remembered his previous birth as Bharat and his performance of devotional service. And even in the body of a deer, he continued his devotional practice. In next life, he became the exalted Judd Bharat. And attained the perfectional stage. Chitraketu is another example of someone who was in a very elevated position of devotional service. And due to the curse of Parvati, apparent aparad, by laughing when he saw Parvati sitting on the lap of Shiva, he had apparently fallen from his position, and taken the body of a demon, Vritrasura, but actually Vritrasura was the greatest of devotees. His devotional service was not lost. It continued in the next life. And then Ajamil, such a great example. In the very beginning of his life, he was engaged in pure devotional service, and then he fell down and became completely corrupted, gave up his lawfully wedded wife, moved in with a prostitute, engaged in all kinds of unlawful ways to maintain himself and his many children. But the carryover from his devotional service induced him to name his youngest son Narayan, and therefore he was chanting the name Narayan, 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 without making offenses, because he wasn't chanting it just to clear his offenses. And at the time he was dying and the Yamadutas were coming to punish him for his sinful activities, he said Narayan. And this gave him full opportunity. He was saved by the Vishnudutas, and he heard a conversation between the Vishnudutas and the Yamadutas. Then he was given a reprieve, and he went to Hardwar to purify himself completely and take up the process of devotional service. And so we can see from these examples that if one takes the devotional service, even a little bit, has a beginning in it, no matter what other material circumstances come after that, it will continue, and one will come to the perfectional stage. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a list given by Krishna of 28 qualities of a devotee that are especially dear to him. And in the commentary, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur lists that there's one quality out of all the 28 qualities which is the most important, and that's called Matsharana. And that means that one surrenders to Krishna. All the other qualities are not of much importance until one actually surrenders to Krishna. So yesterday we had a seminar at our temple, a mini-seminar in the morning, and His Grace Satyadev Prabhu was giving a talk about ways to improve japa. And he was talking about fixing your sankalpa before chanting Hare Krishna, and that you should have some, like an aphorism, something you're meditating on, that why are you about to chant? So he asked us to think about that. And in the course of the conversation, this one phrase came up that stuck in my mind, and I want to bring it out to you now, and that is trust the name. Trust the name. This became my aphorism in chanting that morning yesterday, and I've been thinking about it. It's such a powerful aphorism because in it, it contains the seed of what we're talking about here. If you simply trust Krishna, know the purity of devotional service, know the power that Krishna has, and understand that all that's invested in His name, Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis, all His personal power is there. Now, if you chant like that, and you trust the name, that whatever shortcoming I have, whatever disillusionment I have, whatever lack I have in any aspect of my life due to my association with the three modes of material nature and contamination, whatever it is, and Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, there are three major categories of material contamination. He says, Vita Raga Paya Krodha. Raga Paya Krodha means that this attachment to material things, it's really difficult to give up because of so much association and habit through many, many lifetimes. It's hard to give up the objects of the senses. Even great yogis, after performing meditation for many years, even succumb to the senses. Bhaya means a fear of personal existence, that there's a sense that because material existence is so painful, because I'm disappointed so many times with my engagement in relationship with other people, that I conceive that it's so painful that I can't entertain that actually spiritual perfection is something personal also, and therefore my mind goes towards a conception of a void, and I want voidism. And krodha. Krodha means anger. So this we see very much prevalent in the present day, that people become angry and they'll say, well, there is no religion, there is no actual process, because they've heard so many conflicting views and they hear so many people arguing over the details of how to perform religious activities that they just become, and they say, well, then there's nothing. I don't believe in anything. And then Prabhupada says, well, then they take to intoxication as their method for transcendence, which is altogether frustrating in and of itself. So Krishna says, vitaraga paya krodha. One has to become purified. One has to give up these three misconceptions and become purified by the process of devotional service to come to the perfectional stage. So how to do this? The purity of devotional service will clear all these misconceptions. What should we do? Trust the name. Trust the name. Krishna is in his name. It's a simple process. Subhuti Roy was a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, and he had become so confused about what his duty was. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him one thing, trust the name. Chant Hare Krishna. If you trust the name, everything will come from that. This was his simple message. Just trust the name. Krishna's in his name. Trust the purity and the force of devotional service and take to the process of chanting Hare Krishna. So Matsharana means this surrender, this feeling that I trust the name. I will take it. I'll have determination. Even if I'm not able to do it fully right now, I'll trust that the purity is inherent in the process. And so Bhagavatam echoes this. In the fifth canto, 18th chapter, 12th verse, Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavatiya Kinchanar Sarvar Gunas Tatra Samasate Sura. It means that if you do this one thing, trust the name, take the devotional service, hear about Krishna, then all good qualities will come. Everything good will come automatically. This is the essence of faith. Shraddha Shabde Vishwas Koi Suridanishchoy Krishna Bhakti Koili Sarva Karma Krittahoy. The essence of faith is this feeling that if I take the devotional service, even if I'm unable to do it fully right now, but to whatever capacity I have from my position, I engage in it, it's so powerful, it will bring me to the ultimate goal. And I don't need to add anything else. There are already additives. I've been mixed into the material nature for so long, I'm always grasping for some other additive. This is the condition of the material mind, thinking, I need to add this or that just to make me happy. That's why we drive around so much. That's why everyone needs more horsepower, because the mentality is, if I just add another little element to my material life, that'll make it perfect. Otherwise, why do I move? That's the whole impetus for moving in material life, is to add one more little material thing. But devotional service means you don't need any additives. You only need one thing, one additive. That's the holy name. You just need Krishna consciousness. That will solve everything. That is the purity of devotional service. So onward, Rupa Goswami invokes this wonderful verse, which will also give us determination and faith. And that is, Devarshi Bhutapna Nrinam Pitrinam Nakinkaro Nayam Nrinicha Rajan Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam Kato Mukundam Parihrita Kartam. And this verse, actually, this is from Karbhajana Muni, from the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which he says, everyone's born into this world as a debtor. We have so many debts to everyone because the facilities we have actually are an award to us. They're given to us. The bodies we have, the light, the air, the water, the intelligence, the education. Our parents give us service. All kinds of living entities serve us. Everyone's doing things for us so we can just stay alive, actually. And so we owe a great debt to every living entity. But the verse says, if you take to devotional service, all those debts are automatically paid, because basically you're paying the person who's making the whole show go, and that's Krishna, and you're surrendering in the right place, then you'll become completely satisfied. So therefore, the feeling is that a person who's engaged in devotional service is better off than those engaged in philanthropic, ethical, moral, altruistic, or any kind of social welfare activities. Devotional service is the most important. It's the highest thing. All those other things are nice. They're good. But devotional service is transcendental. It goes to the very heart of our existence, and the point which I brought up in the very beginning is that it's the constitutional occupation of the living entity to engage in devotional service, and it is completely transcendental to the modes of material nature. It is the most valuable thing. And of course, sarva dharman parityaja mame kam sharanam braja. This verse from 1866 in the Bhagavad Gita. I had read Bhagavad Gita, but then when I picked up a Back to Godhead magazine, actually someone gave it to me, there was an article in the Back to Godhead magazine that featured this verse and Prabhupada's purport in it. And I read it over and over and over again. And in that verse, it solves everything. And that is, Krishna says, don't worry, just surrender to me. I'll take care of everything. I've mentioned this before. I'll mention it again because I really like this analogy. Prabhupada says, if someone comes to you and says, I'll take care of all your affairs, how much relieved will you be? But then you might think, well, can they really take care of all my affairs? But if Yogeshvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, says, I will take care of all your affairs, you can believe him. And this is faith. Understanding this and meditating on this fact, Krishna is Yogeshvara. He's the controller of everything. If I surrender to him, how can I possibly be a loser? In fact, I'll be the greatest gainer, and everything will be automatically taken care of. So sarva dharman parityaja. Pari means everything. It includes everything. Parityaja, if you give up everything and you surrender to Krishna, then masujaha, don't worry. Krishna will make up for it. You'll be the gainer. That's the idea. So devotional service is completely pure. It's the constitutional position of the living entity. And if we develop this mood of determination and surrender and trust the name, then from whatever situation of life we're in, the process will act and we'll feel the purification. Last time I spoke all the way almost to the end, and then I regretted it afterwards because I thought I'd really like to hear more of the questions of the devotees. So this time, I should have told you in the beginning, but I want to stop at this point at quarter till and have some discussion and take some questions from the devotees. So Ashutosh Prabhu, if you can unmute everybody.
Yeah, and,
let's take some questions. Still sounds like they're muted.
No.
Then I'd like to say all glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hari Bol. So, please ask a question. We have about 15 minutes, and let's have some discussion.
Prabhu, yeah. One question I have is Adi Guru Dasya.
Hari Guru, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Dhanavad Pranams.
Dhanavad Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
Prabhuji, one question is that the chanting is the thing that you said. Like, how do we think of holy name as non-different from Krishna? You know, we have heard the shloka, but what is the like practical thing that we can do so that we can see holy name as Krishna?
Practical. You want practical? That's a very important question because it's like going to the ocean. If you go to the ocean and you look at the surface of the ocean, and you'll see a reflection, and after a while you might think, oh, there's nothing much in here. So you have to dive deep into it and go down into the ocean, and you have to get some jewels down there and bring them back. So practical means that one way or another, you have to enter into this chanting process and get something from it every day. This will nourish your whole practice of devotional service and enliven every aspect of your life. So this is why there's some practice involved. It means really practice correctly. Therefore, there are injunctions like don't commit offenses. Offenses, they obscure the power of the name. Well, actually, the power of the name is always there, but it blocks our availability to the name because of offenses. So be very careful. Follow that. And also listen very carefully when you chant the holy name with reverence, and it will act. We recommend, Prabhupada has given us minimum 16 rounds. Oftentimes we find, you know, you can chant 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rounds and not experience anything, but when you daily chant enough rounds so that you can get into you can disengage from your mind and actually hear the name, you'll feel a direct experience. You'll have direct experience of Krishna through his name. And from this, it's just like when the sun rises, everything good happens. Like here in California, even, it's cold during these times of years, not like in Washington, D.C., or in Canada, in the eastern parts, but it does get cold here, and all the plants go to sleep. They don't like it. They just hunker down and wait till the winter's over, practically. And all the bulbs are sleeping. But as soon as the sun starts coming back, and it's coming back now 2 minutes a day, it's a little bit longer. I look at my little moon calendar, and every day the sun is a little bit more prevalent. Two minutes more a day makes a huge difference, because now the plants, they know it. They know there's 2 minutes more of sunlight in a day, and they're starting to come out. So similarly, in your devotional practice, you have to get the sun of the holy name. So one of the points is don't block it. Don't make offenses. Live an offenseless life. Practice that. That's the practice of chanting Hare Krishna. And try to take as much exposure as possible. That's all that's necessary. What can a plant do? A plant just sits there, right, and waits for the sun. So you have to sit there and wait for the sun of the holy name also. But if you can get 2 more minutes of exposure every day, then you'll start coming to life just like the plants are right now as the spring is approaching. They know it, and they'll feel it. It's intrinsic in the soul. Your connection with Krishna is eternal, and your feeling of him is direct. It's not a philosophical thing. It's actually a direct experience that you'll get. So expose yourself to the holy name. The holy name process works. Is that okay, Adi Guru?
Yes,
where did everybody go? Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Another question?
I have a question, Vaisheshika Prabhu. This is Lakshmivan.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Prabhu, you were talking about determination, having determination to complete the process of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we think that I'll be determined and I will do it. So sometimes when we think I'm going to conquer the senses, I'm going to really do everything and attain this high position, then a little bit of pride creeps in. So how do we avoid the contamination of pride, which sometimes grows along with our service?
Oh, that's a nice question. Yeah, this is, if I make some advancement, then I can become proud of it, or if I think that I'm the one doing it,
yeah,
then also, you know, I can become kind of proud of it. Well, you know, it's sort of built in. First of all, if I'm sincere about making progress, it's built into the process. I've experienced from doing book distribution that I can get into a mode of thinking that I'm doing it. In fact, I remember for many years going to the same place every day to distribute books. I remember very clearly in St. Louis, because I went there so many years to one spot in the airport, and I distribute books. And I remember distinctly how I would get on a roll, and for like, you know, 10 days in a row, I felt like I just couldn't be stopped. I mean, it was like, I just everything was working. Like whatever I would say, people would just take the book and they would buy a book. And then I'd start thinking like, "Wow, I really know how to do this." And then the next day I'd go out, and then all of a sudden, you know, people would be turned off. They weren't interested. They would refuse me. and I'd think it was like almost like Krishna turned the water off, and I couldn't do it anymore. And then I really had to dig deep. I might go for 3 days or a week, and I couldn't, it just wasn't working again. And therefore, I had to dig deep down inside and surrender again and think, Krishna, it's not me, it's you, it's you, and take shelter. And so built into the process, you know, we see, it's mentioned in the Krishna book and during the Rasa dance, that Krishna perceived some pride in the gopis, so he walked away from the Rasa dance. And then they began, taking shelter of Krishna even more deeply. So built into the process, when we're sincere and we're practicing devotional service, if that pride comes in or the thought comes in, then Krishna will rectify us. He'll walk away, or he'll make us frustrated. And in that frustration, actually, we make great advancement. Therefore, we should understand that when I become frustrated or when there's an obstacle, this is a great opportunity for deeper surrender. So whatever the circumstance, I should, continue with that and remember that it's a personal process. This is not mechanical. We have a relationship with a person who's the supreme person. And he's the most intelligent, and he'll make all kinds of arrangements for us as we're moving forward in devotional service. So have faith and take those little lapses when I might develop that kind of pride and Krishna turns the water off, that to take deeper shelter of the surrender that Krishna, it's you, it's not me. We say this all the time, namaha. Nama means not me, not me, not me. So let go, let God. Is that okay, Lakshmi?
Yeah, it's wonderful. Thank you very
okay.
much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Another question?
Deva Prabhu.
Yes, who's speaking?
This is Deva Prabhu.
Deva Prabhu, yes. Go ahead.
So I have a question about, you mentioned dosha, the fault of trying to over-endeavor or achieve a platform that we're not qualified for. And it makes sense in terms of I'm working full-time. I would rather sit at Radha Kunda chant, so let me just do that. But my mind's too troubled, so I'm not qualified for that. In that example, it makes sense. Where it gets more foggy is understanding within, from one service to another service, where we're not talking about a material activity and a spiritual activity, but we're asked to do more spiritually. And sometimes we need to be pushed or pulled a little bit to achieve a more advanced position. And sometimes if we try to do that, it's just too much for us. How do we know when it's a healthy it's a healthy pull, that Krishna's pulling us to do a little bit beyond our comfort zone so we can grow, and when it's just another one of Maya's devices somehow to, whether our own pride or false ego or whatever, we're thinking, yes, let me take up the service and this will be a good thing, but we're not really qualified for it. How do we know the difference?
Well, what a nice question. Well, first of all, when we're in the realm of service and we're being given more service or the opportunity is there, the first thing to realize is that we're very fortunate, because to have any kind of service at all is a blessing, actually. It's not, we can't ever take it for granted that, oh, I have my service, this is my service. Krishna gives us service. He's the one who promotes us and gives us an opportunity for any kind of service at all. So if you have service or you see someone who has a service, it's a nice way to think about it, that actually, it's not just a nice way, it's actually a fact, that service is an award. It's been given. And so that's one thing. So my point there is that it's hard to go wrong. I mean, even if you take too much and then you fall back a little bit and adjust, you haven't lost at all. Tattvasadharmam chananam bhujanam harer bhajana pakvota patetadoyadi. Even if you are a little bit unqualified, this verse says, and you take it up and you fall back again, no loss. It's all service. It's good. It's Krishna's internal energy. So that's the absolute conception, to see that. And in the fine-tuning, it's important to have guidance. When we're engaged in ISKCON, and we're engaged in, you know, trying to balance our lives and also push forward the Krishna consciousness movement and also maintain a balance in our devotional lives. Take guidance. There's a group of devotees that I go to regularly, I would say for therapy. You know, my godbrother Satyadev Prabhu, I meet with him when he's in town once a week, and I sit down and I make sure that, you know, he balances me out. I say, okay, tell me how I'm doing. Give me give me an evaluation. And other godbrothers that I check in with regularly, and I find out from them, you know, am I too hyper, or am I, how's everything going, you know, and they, you know, they give me their honest feedback because they're close. Therefore, in the Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami mentions this principle that one must have confidential relationships with like-minded devotees who can help to balance us out. And of course, these can be considered shiksha gurus, those who are assisting us on adjusting our service. And, you know, it's a fluid situation. Our service may be adjusted throughout our lifetime as we're moving forward. A barometer that's kind of important is that you should be blissful. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogata. The first symptom that you're rising above the modes of nature is that you're happy. You should feel blissful. Hey, and if you're not blissful, David Prasadapuru, then what good are you to anybody else anyway? I mean, the fact is you need to be happy. You need to feel blissful. A devotee was asking me recently, it was Lacey, was asking me about, you know, balancing service. And I was referring to a book I once read about investing. It's a book called The Richest Man in Babylon. It tells you how to invest your money. And it's a very simple principle, starting with pay yourself first. And, you know, whatever income you're getting, you need to take out 10% and put it aside so that you can save it and invest it, and that's how you develop wealth. So in the same way, in our personal lives, you have to make sure you're paying yourself first, because as they teach in paramedic school, a dead paramedic cannot help anyone. So paramedics, when they go to a scene of an accident, they first make sure that they're going to stay alive. Because when they go into that scene, if they don't stay alive, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what their skills are. Everyone else can be saved only if they're healthy and in the right consciousness. So they make sure there's no poisonous gas. They make sure there's no falling limbs and, you know, no one's still shooting and all these kinds of things before they go in. So this sense of balance is important, and the barometer of being blissful is also important. You know, you're a soul. You know when you're blissful. So get blissful, and then you can actually expand your service, because really the service that you're doing is being a ray of light for others. Ultimately, that's the most important thing. You need to be a ray of light. You need to give light to other people, and you're reflecting Krishna's light. So take in as much as possible yourself, and to the degree that you feel blissful and you can go forward and do your service in this blissful frame of mind, you'll be effective. So take guidance, pay yourself first, and at all costs, be blissful.
Thank you. That helps a lot. Does this apply equally if we're given or asked to take up a service, or if we volunteer for a service? Do all these same points apply equally?
Well, you know, Prabhupada gave a direct of management to Karandar Prabhu, the GBC in Los Angeles, a long time ago, and he said that the leaders of the organization should administer service in such a way that it is individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. And then they should always generate a fresh challenge. So ideally, the situation is that you know, the leaders are watching out to make sure that there's the service is they're inspiring people to take up service. After all, we're in a volunteer organization, and we should create an atmosphere in which everyone wants to do more service. There, that's the art. That's really the art. So it applies in all circumstances, and we just have to see wherever, whatever circumstance we're in, at all costs, you have to adjust and be blissful.
That's nice. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Thank you, David Prasthaprabhu. Hare Krishna. We have time for one more question. This is a bonus round because we're over the 11 o'clock mark. Any
Hare
last
Krishna,
question?
One question, Prabhuji.
Yes, is this Nitin?
Yes, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Welcome back. Hare Krishna.
Thank you,
Nitin just came back from Vrindavan. Hare Bol.
Awesome. Prabhuji, I really like the idea about sankalpa, like thinking of something before chanting.
Mm-hmm.
So just to get this right, so I suppose if I do a sankalpa that, you know, I'm going to distribute, say, 10 books in 1 month, just an example, or and while I'm chanting, I'm just thinking of that. Is that okay? Like, I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to go here, I'm going to do this, like, or is that much of a distraction?
I'll tell you a personal story. When book distribution was just getting started in North America, and in 1973, I joined the movement, and Prabhupada had asked us to go out and distribute books, and not many books were going out at that time. I mean, no one had done us a large number of books. Some of the people were selling 3 or 4, 10 books a day, something like that. And then we heard news that a devotee in Los Angeles was selling 40 big books a day. So I remember I went to the book room and I piled up 40 books in a stack and I sat in front of them and chanted my japa in front of those books, and I was praying the whole time for Krishna to show me the way to sell 40 books in a day.
Oh.
that was my sankalpa. And soon afterwards, he did. He gave me proper guidance through devotees, you know, how to do that. In general, what we were talking about when making a sankalpa before chanting was a way that you're developing a relationship with the holy name, and a way to disengage the mind from thinking of, a way to take shelter of the holy name. And as I'm saying that, I'll just read you what Satyadev Prabhu said was his sankalpa before chanting. This is very nice. Here it is. I'm just looking it up. His sankalpa before chanting. He says, I allow myself to chant the holy name effortlessly, with presence, reverence, and affection. I allow myself to chant the holy name effortlessly, with presence, reverence, and affection. And he gave up the parameters, actually, for making a good sankalpa and a good goal. So, of course, you know, it's individual. You can do it whatever way you like, but he was emphasizing that especially for being able to fully concentrate on the name, if you make a sankalpa that has to do with the mood you're going to chant in, that's especially powerful. But certainly what you're talking about making goals, this can also be considered some kind of a sankalpa in our devotional service. This is also applicable and very helpful. So just, you know, decide what you want that's progressive in devotional service, write it down, and then you can make steps to achieve that.
Okay?
Okay?
Good. Thank you, sir.
All right. Ashutosh Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu.
I think we've come to the end of our time. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Any devotees final comment or say Hari Bol?
Hari Bol, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
It's so nice to hear your voices and to be connected with you through this electric talking machine.
Prabhu, I'll stop recording here. Thank you so much for
thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Vanchakalpaturubhishcha kripasindhavevacha pachitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha gopremanande hari hari bo
hari
Krishna
Krishna Krishna.